Mierda.
Porque la agresión política, económica, diplomática contra Venezuela, en primer lugar porque Venezuela ha levantado un proyecto autónomo de revolución democrática, de reivindicación social, de construcción de un propio y nuevo modelo de sociedad basada en las raíces históricas de nuestra nación, basada en la identidad de nuestro país, basada en la cultura propia de nuestra región latinoamericana. Quieren desde hace 20 años detener el curso de la historia del desarrollo de un proyecto revolucionario que nació de la propia raíz de lucha de nuestro pueblo. Luego del caso anunciado, publicado en las páginas del New York Times, de estos intentos pretendidos de disturbios, violencia de carácter militar, da el New York Times detalles de cómo funcionarios de los Estados Unidos desde Colombia, apoyados por el gobierno de Colombia y la institucionalidad colombiana, se reunieron y ofrecieron su aliento y su apoyo a este intento de cambio de régimen. ¿Puede el sistema de Naciones Unidas, puede la humanidad, le digo a mis hermanos latinoamericanos y caribeños, puede América Latina y el Caribe aceptar estos métodos que tanto daño hicieron a nuestra región durante todo el siglo XX? ¿Cuántas intervenciones militares, cuántos golpes de Estado, cuántas dictaduras se impusieron durante el largo y oscuro siglo XX latinoamericano y caribeño? ¿Y a quién favoreció? ¿A los pueblos? ¿Qué intereses representó? ¿Los intereses de las transnacionales? Los intereses antipopulares, largas dictaduras como la de Augusto Pinochet en Chile, tuvieron que soportar nuestro pueblo por el empeño de las élites estadounidenses y de la doctrina Monroe de negar el derecho que nos hemos ganado a gobernarnos de la forma que sea necesario gobernarnos y de construir sistemas económicos, políticos y culturales propios de la región.
Por su parte, los presidentes de Bolivia y Cuba dejaron clara su posición solidaria con la tierra de Bolívar.
Nuestra América es hoy escenario de persistentes amenazas incompatibles con la proclama de América Latina y el Caribe como zona de paz, firmada en La Habana por los jefes de Estado y de Gobierno en 2014 en ocasión de la segunda cumbre de la Comunidad de Estados Latinoamericanos y Caribeños. La actual administración estadounidense ha proclamado la vigencia de la doctrina Monroe y en un nuevo despliegue de su política imperial en la región, ataca con especial saña a Venezuela. En ese amenazador conflicto, queremos reiterar nuestro absoluto respaldo a la revolución bolivariana y chavista, a la unión cívico-militar del pueblo venezolano y a su gobierno legítimo y democrático conducido por el presidente constitucional Nicolás Maduro Moros. Rechazamos los intentos de intervención y las sanciones contra Venezuela que buscan asfixiarle económicamente y dañar a las familias venezolanas. Repudiamos los llamados a aislar a esa nación soberana que no hace daño a nadie.
Cada vez que Estados Unidos invade países, lanza misiles o financia cambios de régimen. Lo hace acompañado de una campaña de propaganda que reitera que es a nombre de la justicia, la libertad, la democracia, los derechos humanos o por razones humanitarias. Quiero decirles, a Estados Unidos no le interesa la democracia. Si así fuera, no habrían financiado golpes de Estado y apoyado a dictadores.
Para avanzar hacia un mundo multipolar, democrático y equitativo, son requerimientos para garantizar la convivencia pacífica, preservar la paz y seguridad internacionales y encontrar soluciones duraderas a los problemas sistémicos. Contra esa lógica, el uso de la amenaza y de la fuerza, el unilateralismo, las presiones, represalias y sanciones que caracterizan de modo cada vez más frecuente la conducta y la retórica del gobierno estadounidense y su uso abusivo del veto en el Consejo de Seguridad para imponer su agenda política, plantean enormes desafíos y amenazas dentro de las propias Naciones Unidas.
Aquí concluye esta edición especial del Informativo Pacífica. Agradecemos la colaboración de todas las personas y medios que hicieron posible este programa. A nombre de todos, de Norma Martínez, se despide tu amigo de siempre, Fernando Velázquez. Gracias por acompañarnos.
ones I'm going to throw in. No, I'm not. I'm going to say thank you and praise Bob. Good night. Now I can throw in the fact that this.
I'm part of an unlicensed, commercial-free, straight-up illegal pirate radio station here in Santa Cruz, right here, for the past 17 years. Broadcast 17 years! Broadcasting the news, the music, the opinions you won't hear on the other stations. It's just stuff like labor of love of many people. I've been there like 9 years, almost half the life of the station. But really, this project's like bigger than me. It's like... it's what I believe in. It's people doing for themselves what's wrong with the world. You know, like, let's find solutions. The media environment is fucked up. They're not saying what we want to say. They're not hearing what we want to hear. Like, let's do it ourselves. And that's what we're doing. Without the permission of the federalists, if you will. Anyway, did I get station ideas for you guys?
Hi, R. Duck here, reaching out to you. Our friendly listeners of FRSC, the finest radio in Santa Cruz, we ask you to keep an eye out and let us know for a new studio location. We need something urgently, preferably by September 20th. If you have such a location, let us know. We can give you $500 as a thank you gift. It needs electricity. We can connect up an internet. And a bathroom is also required. Contact FRSC at freakradio.org. And we'll see you on Friday night, 8:30 p.m. until Friday night. At 8:30 p.m., thank you. And thanks for your ongoing help to make such mischief possible.
song for you. A song called Mistreated. Thank you.
you to come on home. Want you to come on home. Baby, baby. Baby, baby. I want you to rock me, baby. Rock me all night long. Oh, now listen to this. I want you to rock me, baby. Rock me all night long. Hear me call your name. Hear me call your name.
consciousness. As old worry maintains your consciousness. There's a loser in my house and a puppet on a stool. And a crowded way of life and a black reflecting fool. And as the people mend, the moral fabric dies. Then touch again, pretend to notice people's cries. Because you are.
And next up on Free Radio, it's the September 27th, 2018 edition of Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides, 2 hours with me. And you can call in, and later I'll call you back, 423-4833, if you got comments on the show or musical suggestions or want to be a part of Free Radio or saw something out your window as you're walking down the street around police misconduct or mistreatment of poor people that you think needs to be aired or further looked into. And who knows, maybe we can get some folks to look into it, and maybe we can't. So stay tuned. Looking for some interviews with local folks. Don't know if we can get a hold of Brent or Joyful Heart or Brian of Marysville or Carol Denny of Berkeley, but those are folks I'm going to try to reach on the phone today. This is the day of the broadcast, Thursday the 27th. So listen in.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
And it's been a fairly tiring week for me. We had a, Tuesday protest at City Hall trying to alert the community and raise voices around the issue of bathroom bullshit, as I like to call it. That is to say, the closure of the Loudoun Nelson bathrooms over at the Loudoun Nelson Community Center, which are still closed. But we did a rousing series of speeches in front of the City Council building, and then actually went in and wedged ourselves into the two-minute period of time allowed us on the oral communications period. A couple of the speakers for two organizations got 4 minutes. Then the next day there was a conscience and action meeting where we plotted some more actions, hopefully, to get these bathrooms open. And also, really, it's for my money to turn back the tide of anti-homeless bigotry, counter the, oh, they're all a bunch of drunks and hypodermic needlers and bums and, that kind, the bad kind that you hear constantly. That really kind of, you don't really hear it put that way. It's put in a sympathetic tone. Oh, they all have drug abuse problem. Oh, well, there's the alcohol problem. You know, they need counsel, mental illness. They need some kind of help instead of the obvious, which is there's no shelter for 1,500 to 2,000 homeless people outside. And the bathroom facilities are generally closed at night. There's some non-accessible to disabled or differently abled people porta potties that you might stumble across. There are three of them citywide, as far as I know, two on Cedar Street and one over on Laurel and Front Streets. But the bathrooms, which are perfectly good and could be opened at night, remain stubbornly and bigotistically, it's not quite a word, but you catch my gist, closed on the count of bigotry throughout the city. So I think the job of folks who don't like to see that is to take direct action, not to wait for the political candidates who are running to say warm and fuzzy things about that, or even slightly controversial, annoyed, and outrageous things, like I heard people say at the People's Democratic Club candidate forum about a week ago, and played that on the air last time. If you listened in on Sunday, I think it was Sunday I played that. But to actually have people who are concerned in this society go out and do something to essentially pressure the authorities to take the actions that they should have taken decades ago in terms of just for simple public health and common decency reasons. We're not talking about heated toilet seats, as the mayor of Santa Barbara had for her father, but she would not allow such facilities for homeless people when I was working down there in 1992. Now, just ordinary, decent facilities where you can take a crap in private and wipe your ass and maybe, you know, deal with a situation that a woman might have with tampons, menstruation, other things that you kind of need to do if you're a human being on this planet of one gender or another. Anyway, there was a protest at City Hall. I'm going to be playing a little bit of that. And we also had a David Rovics concert last night. That's a concert at the infamous Loudon Nelson Center, which is now infamous for its not just closing its bathrooms, not just putting up an iron fence that it's locked at night all around the park as though it's some kind of, special monument under stress that needs to be protected from the sleeping bodies of homeless people, which is the reason it was put up, I think, in the main. Not just the chunky security thug. I'm pretty chunky myself, so let us be chunky together, but let's not be security thugs together, who patrols the area, whipping out her rule book to move along the people that, for her, perhaps just don't look like they should be there. Or the otherwise amiable people at the desk of the Loudon Nelson Center who will suddenly become very militant and bureaucratic and hard-voiced when you ask to use the bathroom, as I did last night. I told them I was there to attend a concert. Well, actually, I told them I was there for an event. And they said, okay. And then when I asked them further, do you actually go into details about this? Do you require people to document this? And they immediately said, are you going to the event? As though suddenly, you know, I was trying to slip past them. And I learned that the chief, well, you're going to probably hear about this because I'm going to be playing some of it both today and probably on Sunday at the longer show from 9 to 1 and maybe, well, 9 to 1, 1:30. No, 9:30 to 1. There we go. And it often goes till 3, although there's some internal controversy in our station management about whether some of us are getting too much airtime, so we'll see how that goes. In any case, he was told he couldn't be there for more than 15 minutes before an event. And he was the main event. It was kind of it was funny, but it wasn't funny because it showed how people are being treated in a different way according to a kind of a new gentrification standard where sort of little, I don't want to call them landlords because they are getting kind of rent from you. They're getting rent from the people who are there. People are required to be a part of the event. Little, what do I call them, bourgeois, because they've tried to turn Loudon Nelson Center into a cafe, into some sort of semi-commercial activity, a private business, which somehow gives them the right to create new rules that they can apply arbitrarily and in a discriminatory manner. In ways that you couldn't if you were a government, because you have to worry about discriminating against people, even to some extent homeless people. There is no real protection for homeless people as a class economically, but if it's shown that you're discriminating against someone because of how they're dressing all the time, I suppose you could set up a dress code, but I don't know if you can actually in public buildings set up a dress code. I think you can require that health and safety standards be met, and then, of course, immiserate people so much that they can't meet those standards and say, aha, stay out, which may be what is happening in some places. Anyway, there's a lot happening that I want to put on the air, and I'm not going to really have the space and the time and perhaps even the energy to do it, But I'm going to begin with, well, it's a little early for it, but let's start with a musical break, just to break up the sound of my voice.
Well, I just found out and I feel so proud. I'm the one they chose, wanna shout it out loud. Yeah, my head is light and my eyes are watery. I feel like I just won the lottery. I'll be the last man, oh, what an honor, the last random American, last man to die in Afghanistan. Yeah, I never was one of the lucky ones, but I'm the one they chose over their own son. To be the final guy to die forsakenly. When they finally figure out we've been there mistakenly. I'll be the last man, oh what an honor, the last random American, last man to die in Afghanistan. Did we conquer that country like the Russians overthrew them, like the British and the Mongols had their asses handed to them? Did we bring them democracy? Well, our guy got elected. When the votes were tabulated, duplicated and corrected. And isn't that worth it? Just ask my mom. Her dad was the last man to die in Nam. Well, I've heard them say freedom isn't free. Someone's got to pay, and well, they chose me to be the last example of tough diplomacy. The last casket, folks, back in Oklahoma City. I'll be the last man. Oh, what an honor, the last random American, last man to die in Afghanistan. Oh, what an honor, the last stranded American, last man to die in Afghanistan.
That was The Last Man by Roy Zimmerman. Interestingly enough, it was published on YouTube in December of 2009, of course, which is shortly after Barack Obama was elected Führer back in 2000. And, oh, wait a minute. No, that was a year after he was elected Führer. Sorry. So he'd updated the whole thing and called Afghanistan the Good War and sent more troops in there. And, of course, that's continuing to rage with no objections from Obama or Clinton or the Democrats, with an occasional song being sung like by Roy Zimmerman. So we're going to be hearing some more songs from Roy, and I kind of like that one. I can actually hear the lyrics. So now we're trying to reach Joyful Heart, or Swami, out at the River Street Campground. He's been living out there for a number of months. We've actually interviewed him some months ago, but not since the latest extension of the program by Susie O'Hara, adding 20 tents and taking away some kind of a, well, the tents look like they're pretty crowded, but it we may not be able to reach him. He may be sleeping. It may be a scheduled time for him to be doing something else, but we will leave him a message, and maybe he'll get back, and we can have him on another show. Hey, Joyful Heart, I'm playing online here this message to you, which, you know, is me trying to get through to do a quick interview with you about the update, about how things are going out at the Boneyard Barbed Wire River Street Campground, as it's called, with all the extra tents kind of shoved in cheek by jowl. And hopefully more and better social services, and at least you don't have a looming deadline immediately ahead of you. But would like to talk to you, so get back in touch with me, 423-4833. I'm going to keep trying. So you take care. Bye-bye. And that one didn't work, so let's instead do something else. So earlier this morning, I got a call from Raylan Butcher and Brian up in Marysville. These are activists who have been fiercely and doggedly fighting to protect the rights of a couple hundred homeless people up there who are being jacked around, their property taken, moved from one place or from to nowhere, pretty much, as I understand it, from past interviews. And I haven't talked to them in quite a while. But what they told me this morning is they were going to court, ably assisted by Anthony Prince of the, I guess it's the statewide Union of the Homeless, and also the Poor People's Campaign. And he's spoken on Free Radio, too, most notably when he was working against the anti-homeless laws in Salinas, where he was able to support a campground, the so-called Flagpole Community, which camped right next to the flag on the lawn outside the Salinas City Hall for about 6 months in the summer of 2016 until it was driven away by new ordinances. And activist Wes White has talked about that. Let's see if I can get a hold of these folks. They were supposed to have some kind of preliminary discussion with, I guess, city officials before either a court-ordered mediation. I'm not entirely clear, but perhaps it will become clear as I get in touch. Let's see if we can do this. That's the number. Let's see if it, it works. And we are ringing. And who knows what we'll find at the
Robert,
end.
Hello.
Hey, Raylan, you're on Free Radio in case you want to...
Oh, I'm on Free Radio.
You are, you are. Yeah.
I'm waiting for Brian. He's coming to the car. We're at the Elf Lake in Marysville right now. Just left Anthony and the crew in Yuba City. And I'll let Brian explain that. Let me grab him somewhere. Where is he? So how are you, Robert?
I'm a little bit hoarse, but still hanging in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I got some books from Mike Rhodes. He signed them for me, and I feel honored to have his books in my presence.
Yeah, Mike, of course, for those who...
He is so awesome.
For those who don't know, Mike is an activist from Fresno. Hang on a second, Raylan, who's actually... he's battling cancer now, but he has been a long time, well, at least for 20 years, a fighter for homeless rights in Fresno, and a successful one who came up to advise you, or at least did so by phone. Did Mike ever actually show up in Marysville, or I don't know if he actually, you there?
Marysville.
Did he show up there, or did you just, you talk, contacted Mike by phone and email, right?
Yeah, that's right.
But he was able, his own successful work in Fresno, getting a, I guess it was a $2.3 million settlement back around 2006, 2007, because homeless people's property was being dumped into a huge garbage disposal machines and compacted. Are you still having that happening up there in Marysville?
Yeah, but now we're like, I think they're trying to burn us out up here. I'm not really sure, Robert, what's going on. I mean, it's, my people are running around the streets with nowhere to be. They're even cutting down the trees where they can't be cut down. Like, I gave them a warning when I had a protest here in Marysville that my sign said, watch out what you wish for, because you kicked the homeless out of the bottom, and we're moving to town. And that's just what happened here in Marysville.
So how many people are we talking about, Raylan, who are up there who are homeless?
Roughly, Brian, how much?
Roughly, for 12,000 people, roughly 300 people.
And how many of them were you representing in court today? How many of them actually? I saw the lengthy number of signatures and the handwritten papers that you two put together, gosh, 6-8 months, even longer ago.
It's pretty much known that's what was going to happen. That if that's what Braden said, they were going to come out there, and if they didn't treat it well, that would be what was happening. And, yeah, you're right, Robert, about 6 or 8 months ago, that things were back then. So we were a little ahead of the game, but not really knowing whether or not the opponent was going to turn left or right. But we know now.
So so which way did they turn, Brian?
Pardon me?
Which way?
They're still negotiating.
Yeah, they're still negotiating. That's what I can't say. I was sworn to a secrecy clause, so I can't really say anything. But I will tell you this, it's progressing.
Well, are people's property still being taken, is my question.
Yes, that is still being taken as of 9 days ago, even after the fourth decision of Martin versus Idaho.
Right.
This city here has ticketed, I think, several people.
Now, do they just ticket, or they also seize property as they do?
They're seizing it, bulldozing, just the regular way this area seems to do things.
Now, you also, the two of you, were videoing this and sending me videos a couple of years ago. Are you still doing that?
Yes, we are.
And are those posted online where people can see them?
We'll be in a day or so.
But I can tell you now, it's Ray Van Butcher, the homeless mayor, and the mayor's mansion. You can punch those in on YouTube, related to Brian L. Brown, and then you can get on their videos and watch the one for the Yuba County Sheriff one. It's really interesting what they have to say about this county.
And what kind of property is being taken from folks outside?
Survival gear
and personal
belongings, family heirlooms that people have held onto for years, and it's just like their whole life is disappearing
four or five times in the past 19 months.
When you went to this is a mediation you went to in Yuba City, right?
That's correct.
And what's your next court date?
We don't have a next court date. The mediator is going to do his job, which is telling the judge what's going to go on. Either it settled or it didn't settle. Well, it didn't settle, but he's willing to join in forces and, if possible, be part of the mediation process as far as the ongoing time that it's going to take. But they really aren't wanting to do anything. It's just, and they're still doing it, though. The thing, Robert, like you were saying, they're still doing that, since months ago. And the new law, since kind of like the new law, the new ordinance camping, I can't believe that they're so early at penetrating the already well-settled law.
Tell me what this new ordinance says and when it came into effect.
The new ordinance is Martin versus Idaho, Boise, Idaho. Mm-hmm. It was a decision by the Eastern District.
I got you. Actually, I'm familiar with that, Brian. I thought you meant a new local law. But, yeah,
they're having to take the camping ordinance out. I went to the city hall, our city council meeting, right in, and I, about 8 days ago, and we told them that they had to take down the no camping ordinance. They couldn't enforce that any longer when there's no adequate place for anybody to be.
And what did they say to that?
They didn't say anything. They just grunted at me. And I told them we were going to camp out on their front porch because there's nothing that they could do about it.
And did you?
Yeah, I did tell them that housing would be nice, but there wasn't an option, I guess.
Yeah, sure. Their housing is going to be, our housing, pretty soon is going to be the city hall steps.
So in other words, you haven't done it yet.
Like your dolls is down there.
You haven't done it yet, but you may do it in the future.
Very soon. We're thinking about it. I'm getting my soldiers together.
Yeah, we're doing the union, too. We had 9 more members, another group down in Oakland. I had just filed on a day for yesterday or a couple days ago. So congratulations to the Oakland chapter. Welcome aboard.
And what news do you hear from Oakland? I know that Oakland, of course, has many encampments under the freeways, or did at least a year ago.
Yeah, they're still the same and upcoming. But, you know, what's one good thing I could say, Robert, dealing with the people like we do, because we're participators, not the actors, is that they're getting a buzz. You know what I mean? It's a buzz going on, and they're beginning to be standing up for themselves, and it's a human thing. It's not something, it's a human quality in all of us.
Now, has the Poor People's Campaign, which was ballyhooed a bit here and there, actually done anything up in Marysville or anywhere in the state that you've seen has had any impact or is organizing in a way that you find optimistic?
It's funny that you said that, Robert, because as soon as I get home, get my belly full, wherever that is, my car, our lawyer, Anthony, is going to get hold of Reverend Barber and Liz Fiona, and talk to them about what is really going on in Marysville.
And be down at the Gold City of the whole fun with California at one time when this was the happening place back in the 80s. So we're finally getting a lot of that. The people, we're going to call it like a rally reunion where they have to listen to the people in the cities and the districts and the states that we have now, 41, I believe. And at the same time, the city council, it'll be a people council. They have to listen to us and not say a word.
Be our audience. Yep.
Be our audience.
And then they'll be asking us questions or telling us answers later.
That's kind of an early plan.
Yeah, we're going to make it work.
Let me ask you this. I know you feel you're sworn to secrecy, which I think is a bunch of horse shit, by the way, but leaving that aside, probably what you're not secret about is what you came to this settlement conference hoping for. You can always tell us what you were hoping for as you walked in the door. What were your demands and your hopes as you walked through that door?
My best was $1 million. I told them to quit doing it to me and my people, and that they don't need to keep doing it, and I'm willing to work with them, maybe even put back some of the money into the community, and to get my life back on track, to know that these people aren't human that are doing this to real human beings, so they got to stop. And the demand was $1 million, and like I say, we're still on the table.
It's interesting. You say a million, whereas the Fresno homeless, of course, Fresno is certainly bigger than Marysville. They got $2.3 million. Maybe it's 2.7, but it's somewhere in there.
Yeah, that was for the. That's correct, Barbara. That was for the
class. Brian's case.
This is my single individual case itself.
The class action is mine.
And what were you seeking, Aurelien, before you entered those secret chambers?
Well, I just want them, because somebody's hurting my people here in my town. My grandfather helped build this town, and I'll be darned if I let it continue, because this town was formed and began in a tent by some homeless people. And they founded this town. My grandfather rode wagon, hitchhiked from another mining town up here. And now it's like, wow, this is my history right here. My family, this is what's happening. My family was some of the pikes that came over with the Donner Party and came right here to Marysville with Miss Mary Kovalot. And so I'll be darned if I let my family built this town.
There was a law years back about poor people who were illegal. You get in California, you get charged if you were poor or somebody brought you in.
So did you have a specific series of demands before you entered the chamber, Raylan, that you wanted? Any particular specifics that you wanted the sheriffs to respect or the city council to respect or the highway patrol or whatever?
No, you want to talk to them.
Oh, yeah.
One-on-one.
I want a one-on-one with them, and I challenged them at City Hall this last meeting about them hurting the homeless and what they're doing
to them. Each one, said, let's get this together.
Each one. I have solutions, and I got things, and that's why I'm who I am up here, because I'm not going to let down on these people. I am a member in the steering committee of the Poor People's Campaign, which is a
member of the consortium
here in town, and I take it out of my own pocket to help people here, and, you know, they might not know it's all coming to me, but it does. One way or the other, I got my people here, and somebody is definitely hurting my people. And I'm not happy about it, and it's got to stop.
Go ahead.
I'm hoping that the Poor People's Campaign and the Homeless Union and the suit we're going to bring some light to them.
Well, I hope you write some more for the Street Spirit newspaper. I mean, I think they published something of yours at one point, right?
Oh, yeah. It was my first experience with homeless people here in Marysville. and well, I was
Yeah, well, you do an update on it. If Prince hasn't, you guys should. I got to roll quickly, so let me. I'll give you the last word here.
Okay.
You go ahead.
I want to tell you, today I came into it, I tell you, from the beginning, 8 months ago, 9, 10 months ago, I thought I was going to win the case at the very first of the day. I brought all my papers. Well, today is 19 months later, it's payday. They need to get on with their life, they need to get on with mine, and they need to do the right thing. And it's not really easy to do. Be human and be civil, and just remember that. And it doesn't ever hurt anybody but yourself. That's what I can say. Just stick with it and demand what you demand, because pain and suffering can't be measured by any amount. No matter what you have or what you don't have. All I can really say is power to the people and the union, the Poor People's Campaign, the Homeless Union.
People like Rob Roberts, Free Radio.
Free Radio from Robert Norris, that's right.
Hey.
But, thank you, Robert, and you have a very blessed day, all right?
Hey, you take care.
Talk soon.
Thank you, too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
And that was Raylan Butcher, and I think it's Brian Brown, if I have it right. Could have it wrong, Brian. If so, I apologize. After that, we're back to the music.
And joining me now to discuss the ongoing battle to confirm Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh is counselor to the president and former jazzercise instructor Kellyanne Conway, and we thank her for being with us. Okay, Kellyanne, I'm going to stop you right there.
Nothing came out of my mouth yet.
Kavanaugh's confirmation has been dramatically halted by accusations made by Christine Blasey Ford, who claims he sexually assaulted her at a party in the 80s. And it now appears, after an extended back and forth, that she is willing to testify to the Judiciary Committee.
He is willing to testify and clear his name and say under oath what he has said otherwise, which is unequivocally and categorically, this is not true.
Donald Trump has taken to Twitter and now seems to be blaming the accuser. Is that out of character for him? He's usually so sensitive when it comes to women's issues.
Let me just say this. You want to lay the blame at somebody's feet? Look no further than your Democratic friend, starting with Senator Feinstein.
I don't know her.
Why is it not enough for you that a man has gone through 6 FBI vets who said he wasn't there, who's willing to testify under oath, who's willing to do it last month?
Republicans assumed he was a shoo-in. Political control was all they saw. But look whose reputation's now in ruin. That's Kavanaugh. Why, who could have foretold the accusations which Feinstein pulled last minute from her bra? And now the Dems demand investigations of Kavanaugh.
We're waiting for her to testify. Everybody wants to hear her.
Kavanaugh, a name that makes the liberals squirm.
I will oppose him with everything I've got.
But Kavanaugh, might be who they confirm.
Judge Kavanaugh will be on the United States Supreme Court.
Now Grassley's having late night Twitter meltdowns, and Spartacus is practically in tears. He'd rather he withdraw. Is this the final straw? Or is it just the start of 40 years with Kavanaugh?
Christine Blasey Ford accepts the request to testify.
If his accuser talks, he may well be screwed. In his own words, no one's above the law.
No one is above the law.
He always looks like he just ate bad seafood. Judge Kavanaugh.
No, because you're not being honest.
You might say that he cock-blocks Merrick Garland. The Dems might say it's still stuck in their craw. Now headed for the highest court in our land. Judge Kavanaugh.
Judge Kavanaugh.
Judge Kavanaugh.
Judge Kavanaugh.
Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh. This sure ain't going how we planned.
A new allegation.
Against Supreme Court nominee Judge
Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh. Yeah, don't try to shake his hand.
Excuse me, don't you go there.
Now he's accused of sexual misconduct, a crime at which our president's a pro. And though some say pshaw, some find it well a flaw, still privileged old white assholes can't say no to Kavanaugh.
I thank President Trump for the honor of this nomination.
To Trump, he says the walking campaign promise. When questions, he just tends to hem and haw. He's like a younger, whiter Clarence Thomas. Judge Kavanaugh.
Judge Kavanaugh.
If Donald Trump says he'll prevail,
Judge Kavanaugh is one of the finest people.
Then Kavanaugh will likely go to jail.
Excuse me, don't you go there.
But Brett, if you're confirmed before November, protect and love the country that you serve.
Or just throw out the law and make America the 1950s Russia we deserve, Brett Kavanaugh.
Don't you go there.
And that was Randy Rainbow Kavanaugh, his latest video. You can catch the visual side of it if you check it out on YouTube. There's a Counterpunch article on the website, counterpunch.org, written by Joanne Wojcicki, and I probably have that pronounced wrong. It looks Polish with all kinds of extra consonants in there that I don't know how to pronounce. But the name of the article is What Brett Kavanaugh Really Learned in High School, Make the Rules, Break the Rules, and Prosper. And this isn't just a rah-rah, dump Kavanaugh kind of article, but goes into it a little more deeply. I liked what I read. I'm going to read some of it to you. Brett Kavanaugh cannot prove a negative, his supporters say, and should not be judged on something he may or may not have done when he was a youth. On those two points, they are correct. I might think they were also sincere. If the right-wing powers behind him had ever cared about poor people, black and brown people, asylum seekers, anyone who's been in prison, any kid being tried as an adult, anyone branded a sex offender, anyone convicted by the press before trial, or by police on the side of the road, or by the architects of Guantanamo, that is, the multitude in the crosshairs of suspicion commonly denied equity, due process, and the possibility of redemption. Kavanaugh's sexual inquisitors are similarly flippant about justice. They ignore the problem of proving a negative and simply declare him a liar. They then focus on the story of Christine Blasey Ford, declaring it true and steam ahead, affirming that accusation equals guilt and the bad acts of youth should forever color the life chances of an adult, scourges that those in the crosshairs mentioned above know intimately. The sophomoric cruelties of Kavanaugh's partisans belching from the internet and in live threats only bolster their opposite numbers' argument that man is forever an adolescent. The late-hour accusation by a former Yale classmate has the odor of pile-on, and its flimsiness in the New Yorker's now panting approach to reporting could be used to subvert Ford. I'm tempted to say that when it comes to sexual politics, a lot of grown-ups are acting like high schoolers, but that would be a slur on youth. Virtually everything about the spectacle, except the tentative, then stoic intervention of Ford, reeks of bad faith. Wisdom crouches in the corner, silent. Yet wisdom, have we forgot, is the fundamental and ancient criterion for a judge. Kavanaugh has failed the test of wisdom not by what he is accused of doing when he was 17 and drunk, but by his adult neglect of reflection and his indifference to suffering, something this moment puts in a sharper light. He does not deserve to be on any court, much less the Supreme Court. That does not get his unwise antagonists off the hook, though, the Dems. For anyone who still cares about principle, the Kavanaugh case is not a matter of belief, nor will it come down to proving or disproving Ford's allegations. Ford, of course, is his accuser. The Senate confirmation process is not a court of law. It is, however, in theory, if not in fact, an arena for considering the problems and promise of justice, for taking the measure of a man, in this case, and his capacity to think deeply, to search bravely, to act humanely beyond the limit of mere ambition. Ford's intervention puts the hard stuff of humanity at the center of that arena, something that has been absent most strikingly in the Senate's challenge to Kavanaugh's greatest ethical failure, his response to torture. For Kavanaugh's, for reasons probably of racism and partly the nature of sex scandal, Torture has never raised the temperature of politics or the public to the same fever as sexual accusation. Ford's entrance and her story, which is so particularly human, as she, of course, is the woman accusing him of sexual misconduct at the age of 17, groping her, a near rape, and muzzling her while in a closet. So simple, yet complex, so weighty with moral dimension, call the profound questions on the subject. Whether they will have that effect on the Senate is doubtful. We cannot know what happened one night in suburban Maryland in 1982. Pretending we can is dishonest, and the events Ford describes are no more or less believable because of the highly fishy Yale claim or the latest breaking third accuser. I shall not address those. So what do we know? We know that Ford has suffered. We know that she is brave. Like Anita Hill, she can gain nothing from coming out that compensates for the slings and arrows, the scandal-jacked press, the overwhelming din, whether of support or suspicion, that she is enduring. We know that as teenagers, she and Kavanaugh occupied a social set where fun was fueled by getting blind drunk and being stupid. Maybe her story is true. Maybe it became confused over time in small ways or consequential ones. Her lawyer has said that she had one beer on the night in the center of the story. Maybe it hit her hard. Maybe she had more and can't remember, along with the other details that easily blur or slip away, especially in a culture where forgetting is often played for laughs. I spent most of high school going to parties like this one. Everyone was drunk, including the kids behind the wheel in the car home. Afterwards, amazing that we lived, a standard line was, "Oh my God, you were so wasted. I was so wasted. He was so wasted." Everyone laughed, sometimes memorializing the events later in yearbook messages sprinkled with in-jokes. One time, a girl woke me in the morning to check if the car was in the yard. She couldn't remember driving home. Plenty of kids forget making out, passing out, throwing up. In the time since, I have not heard of anyone from that crowd accusing another of being accused of assault, or being accused of assault. But an accuser's years of silence would not be surprising. Sexual honesty was not our strength, nor would dumbfounded blankness on the part of the accused. Why were we so insecure with one another? Longing for connection, attention, a kiss? Why were all of us, girls and boys alike, mustered into our single-sex schools, so afraid that we were willing to be foolish, pretending not to be, pretending we couldn't be hurt or hurt? What do we know? Wasted is the title of a lightly veiled memoir about being stupid drunk at Georgetown Preparatory School and beyond by Mark Judge, Kavanaugh's high school friend, whom Ford says was in the room and involved on the night of the assault, she alleges. In a letter, Judge has told the Senate Judiciary Committee, "I have no memory of this alleged incident. Blacking out, remembering nothing, were regular experiences for Judge, going by his book, so it is entirely possible this statement is true. Others whom Ford named as being at the party have said they have no memory or knowledge of it or of Kavanaugh, which proves nothing. That's how memory works when nothing harrowing happens to you. A group of women, some who have known Kavanaugh since high school, have written that he was the sober boy on the side. He was the sober boy on the side, eager for a chat about philosophy. Maybe, but it is hard to believe that the treasurer of the Keg City Club, accomplice in the blotto culture outside school and at Rebaheth Beach in the summer where kids tore up houses without a care, was not more like Brett O'Kavanaugh in Wasted," that's the book that was written by Mark Judge, "drunk and passed out in a car at least some of the time. That's how high school works." Kavanaugh says he never got so drunk as to pass out or not remember. And the truth is, even if he had, none of this proves he attacked Ford. Granting the accused the full benefit of the doubt, we'll probably have to live with uncertainty. We don't have to live with Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court. The past does impinge on the present. One should learn something from it. Kavanaugh has had 35 years to think about high school, specifically the formative culture of elite men. 35 years to reflect on why so many felt the need to annihilate their personalities, why they were so careless and aggressive, how they thought about girls and sex, and especially the privilege of breaking rules and getting away with it. It appears now that this former self-described member of the Rebaheth Police Fan Club, quote-unquote, had not thought about it a bit. If his first statements after Ford went public were typically bland denials vetted by lawyers, variations on "I categorically and unequivocally deny this allegation," he had a chance in his Fox interview on September 23rd to offer some insight on the culture that fortified him and anguished Ford. Martha McCallum prodded him for any thoughts on women's expressed experience, on memory, on competing versions of the past, on whether anyone, say, someone who might come before him in court, should forever be judged by youthful behavior. Kavanaugh was like a robot. He ventured no ideas, no interest in the human condition, no sense of moral wrestling. Even in the abstract, he had his talking points. Ambition says, stick to the script, play it safe, even at the risk of appearing to be a depthless drone. Wisdom would say otherwise. Intellectual curiosity and a feeling for justice would say otherwise. When Kavanaugh was assistant White House counsel from 2001 to 2003, his office was immersed in one of the most momentous debates in this country's history. His boss, Alberto Gonzalez, was seeking legal justifications for torture, for detention without trial, for ignoring the Geneva Conventions and pissing on habeas corpus, the Great Writ, legal obstacle to tyranny since the 12th century. That's the writ of habeas corpus. It says you have to be brought before a judge and charged with something before they can hold you in one of those cold, dank, dark cells. Put another way, the Bush administration was debating how to break the rules and get away with it. At issue was not the anodyne power of the president, but the power to inflict pain. Even before the confirmation hearings began, there was much attention to Kavanaugh's record over the period. The documents withheld or belatedly released, the secrets yet to know, the points to be scored as Spartacus. So many were so busy posturing that they forgot that the most important answers were not to be found in the records, however illuminating, but in the nominee's ability to address the question. Where is justice to be found in the contest beyond the mighty and the meanest, as Solomon put it, and how do the just respond in the face of suffering? By simply entering the arena, a person in pain, Ford casts in shadow all the procedural wrangle and makes plain that that which has been obfuscated on a host of issues on torture, most acutely and aptly in Kavanaugh's case, the human person and the exercise of power. The figure of the person, how many thousands gone, and no, I am not equating Ford's experience with anyone else's, prompts a different consideration of the record, one grounded not in documents but in ethics, human sympathy, where the issue of torture always belonged, but which has been obscured by two decades parsing the intricacies of cruelty. How much pain? To the point of organ failure? Who was in charge? Who authorized? Who was in the loop? Shifting the focus lights up Kavanaugh's deficits, though hardly his alone. This is a long article, so I'm going to skip to the end of it. Except for a handful of low-level working-class soldiers, everyone who ordered, justified, implemented, or looked the other way at the torture policy got away with it. The elite white men and women got a step up. George Bush got to paint all day at his ranch. Gina Haspel got to be CIA director. J. Bibby, who signed the memo authorizing torture, got to be a federal judge, just like Kavanaugh. Harvard used to tell its students, "You are the best and the brightest, the future ruling class." I don't know what it tells them now or how Yale greeted Kavanaugh, but the vital lesson he seemed to have taken from Georgetown Prep is a corollary to Harvard's. The ruling class makes the rules and breaks them and prospers in blameless irresponsibility. You could be cynical about it and joke that with Kavanaugh at least there's truth in advertising, but again, the figure in pain enters to cut the laughter. Titan and CACI, the multimillion-dollar private security contractors, had translators and interrogators who tortured prisoners at Abu Ghraib. They got away with it too. Kavanaugh gave them the pass. He joined the opinion of the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals that not only prevented Iraqi victims from suing the corporation in civil court, but established sweeping immunity from liability for private contractors in battle arenas in the future. The language of the opinion is obtuse, antiseptic. The reader may be forgiven for forgetting what the case is about. It took Merrick Garland in dissent to recognize the suffering subject, the human person beaten, blinded, humiliated, strung up, shocked, raped, forced to watch his father die, extinguished. No one would be held to account. Kavanaugh washed his hands. Now, pitying himself, he wants his dignity. He abdicated that long before anyone heard Christine Blasey Ford's name. And that's the story, or most of the story, on the Kavanaugh website, what Brett Kavanaugh really learned in high school: make the rules, break the rules, and prosper. And, of course, you've been, if you are one of the politically aficionados here in Santa Cruz, looking at the Kavanaugh hearings before the Senate, where both he and the woman that accuses him of molestation and sexual abuse testified today.
I pulled you over 'cause you were speeding. Do you know how black you were going? I had you clocked at 50 miles per black in a 45 blacks per hour zone. I'll be a ride black when I've run your license. Just sit black and relax. Step out of the vehicle, son. Come with me. Gonna book you on ADWB. You put your hands up so naturally. Thought you had a gun up there, hidden somewhere in midair. And you said, don't shoot. You tried to flee, which I took as an attack. Shot you 5 times in the back. I chased you down 'cause you had a pocket knife. Thought you might be joining the Swiss Army or stealing Skittles or selling cigarettes or otherwise compromising Western civilization. Oh, you can't breathe. No, you can't breathe. You can't breathe. You can't breathe. That's what they all say. Come quietly. I'll book you on ADOAWB.
And that was DWB, Driving While Black. In case you didn't recognize the initials, again by Roy Zimmerman. And I'll be playing probably lots more of his stuff. As I said, I like lyrics I can hear. And that one's gets pretty much to the point. It was put online in 2016. Eric Garner's I Can't Breathe and lots of the other things that were quite relevant to some of the more widely publicized murders of police murders of black people across the country that have still gone without any kind of justice. And the police departments involved go about their merry way, including our department in Santa Cruz, which doesn't have to address issues of racial discrimination, of racial profiling, of lack of transparency, of collusion with the immigration authorities even. I've been still trying to get that information out of the police department for some time, still trying to get our dear liberal Sandy Brown to just simply send an email requesting specifics about any correspondence between the former police chief, Kevin Vogel, and ICE, that's the Immigration Control Enforcement Agency, or the Department of Homeland Security, and his department, to find out why there was a guy sitting in his department who was an ICE agent for 9 years. And what happened on that February day in 2017 when ICE and SCPD colluded in police raids in Santa Cruz in violation of community policy. Can't get Brown to write that email yet. Reminded her again on Tuesday that she had till the end of the week before I begin denouncing her. I guess I'm a little premature in that. Sandy, get to it. You heard her promise again online that she was going to do what she's been promising to do for years, which is start to establish a paper trail. She doesn't have a majority on the city council. She and Crone are two council members and a board of seven. But they can present the documents that later on will indicate to anyone watching that they are seeking to get documents, seeking to get information, seeking to get action from what is essentially a reactionary staff headed by City Manager Martine Brunel. And that it can be very important as a clarification for council members to come, for members of the public who want to hold any council members, right-wing or left-wing or all part of the same elite, accountable. So let's try and get Brent Adams on the phone. Brent's, of course, the activist who's been working with the Day and Night Storage and the Warming Program, has also had some strong things to say about the winter shelter program and keeps his ear to the ground a lot on homeless issues, though I don't know, particularly homeless people around Santa Cruz. He is a videographer. He has a website, Homeless Outside in Santa Cruz. So we're dialing Brent, see if we can get him. He's a kind of a hard man to find sometimes, but may be able to reach him. But we'll keep trying, even if we can't. And it looks like that's going to be one of these times.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system. 8315880892. Is not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, Brent. This is Robert of Free Radio calling in, looking for some updates. Didn't see you at the Tuesday protests at City Council, and things went pretty well, so you don't have to worry about me needing documentation that I was stopped from audio recording, which was a concern I had, based upon Terrazas' bizarre behavior 2 weeks before. That's our mayor, of course. Anyway, get back to me if you want to give me an update. Let me know what's going on. 423-4833, as ever. Thanks. So let's see if we can get an update on Measure M from tenant activist Cynthia Berger, who's active in that field. Tireless, actually, considering. And we'll give her a ding and see if she's going to give us a dong back, possibly.
Hi, this is Cynthia Berger's voicemail. You can leave a message for me or for Santa Cruz Tenants Association.
Hey, Cynthia, calling sort of on air for Free Radio Santa Cruz, or soon to be on air. I wanted to get an update or two, so if you want to get back to me with any new briefs about what's happening, any thoughts, any scuttlebutt that you think is useful for people in the Measure M struggle that's continuing up until the election, and I'm sure after as well, get in touch. 423-4833. So what I'm going to do now is turn to some voices that we can actually hear. These are from the Red Church last Monday. That's the Calvary Episcopal Church, where every Monday at 6 there's a bunch of folks who share a pretty tasty meal. I always like their brownies, and they always have various kinds of hot food, both vegetarian and meaty, salads, and it's pretty tasty stuff. Of course, it's only for one night a week, which I generally point out, but that's better than nothing. So let's listen in.
we're talking with a guy who's had no problems with, of any kind with the police for the last week. That's good news. Although you look like you're somewhat ambivalent about that.
Well, I've had problems from where I came from.
Where was that?
Fresno.
I've heard about Fresno.
Yeah, it's horrible. But, I mean, I expect if I'm here long enough, I'll probably get some kind of hassle from the cops. I don't know.
You can talk to us about it if you want.
All right.
Hey, we've been talking with, if you want to say.
My name's Thomas.
Thank you, Thomas. Any reports from the street?
Activity happening right now to even talk about. I mean, a lot of things going on in San Francisco for RV dwellers. A lot of things going on in Santa Rosa, San Diego. I mean, if you want the updates on that, go to Santa Cruz Safe Parking on Facebook. I mean, it's amazing how much things are happening. It's such a rapid, I mean, I have to download like 5 stories a night and try to read them, you know, before I go to bed because it's happening so quickly. I'm getting like 5 stories a day, and it's like, it's okay to be in an RV. It's legal. Then the next day it's not, and the next day it is. I mean, who knows?
What's happening in Santa Cruz as far as, you know, anything specific is coming to your attention?
Yeah, I can't even talk about it right now. It's so crazy right now. I mean, they talked about one of the streets in San Francisco apparently became a battleground, and it's like, it's getting very interesting. Yeah, interesting to say the least, because now they're going to shut down Fair Street to overnight parking possibly. So if they do that...
That's in Santa Cruz.
That's in Santa Cruz Lower West Side. Yeehaw! I got goosed by Bruce. It's very volatile right now, so we're just going to have to wait and see. Just hope that, kind of like the cakewalk, you know, when they play the music, musical chairs, you know, you're going around.
Who's
going
to get left out? Who's going to get dinged?
And they yank that parking spot to see who's there. I don't know, but, you know, I noticed that 2 RVs got hit by vehicles in Lower West Side in the last 2 weeks. Hit and run kind of thing.
You yourself are an RV dweller.
Yeah, for many years, like since off and on since about the 2000s, early 2000s. So it's very interesting.
Now, I asked at this announcement, which I just made, if anybody got camping tickets or been hassled, is that, do you think, dropped off here in Santa Cruz?
I had one of my vehicles taken all the way out to Moss Landing Pick and Pull in Monterey County from Santa Cruz. That's like over 25 miles away, and that shouldn't have happened. Even the tow truck driver that I paid to bring the vehicle back to Santa Cruz said, wow, that's really illegal. Are you going to do anything about it? And I'm just like, not right now. I got other fish to fry. Like, I'm curious to know about these sleeping citations, since it's unconstitutional. Is anybody going to get those sleeping citations, like the state of California versus so-and-so? Are they going to get that removed off their records? I posted that question on Reddit and on Avvo, A-V-V-O, and crickets. I hardly hear anything about it. So if anybody has a sleeping citation on their permanent court records and they want that expunged or cleared, maybe they should send a message to Santa Cruz full-timers and RV parking rights and Santa Cruz Safe Parking on Facebook. I'd be more than happy to try to organize something.
We've been talking with
Julie Shaw.
Thank you, Julie. Any reports?
Suck, FCP. Police really suck.
Doing anything particular to you recently?
With you having your skateboard? A year ago in Temecula, California, they left me stranded, stole my car, basically, you know.
Which department was that?
I was living in the National Forest. With, you know, living. Yeah, I have a right to live and a right to drive.
The Highway Patrol?
Temecula, California. There's sheriffs.
How about Santa Cruz? How long have you been here?
Only like 3 weeks or so.
And how have they treated you?
I haven't even talked to them really yet, but...
You got to get to know those cops, man. They're so much fun.
You know, maybe. One day.
And we've been talking with, if you want to say...
Grace.
Thank you, Grace. Anything, Bob, for you? All right. Yep, enjoy.
Thank you.
Any reports? Flyer that was given out about the federal court throwing out sleeping bans. What's your thought about this?
I enjoy your writing.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Have you been hassled by police here?
No.
That's good. How long have you been outside?
Talked to a few sheriffs. 13 years.
Wow. Here in Santa Cruz?
Yeah.
Wow. So you're a happy resident, aren't you?
Yeah.
What's your name, if you want to say?
Kyle.
Hey, Kyle. Anything else?
No. Robert.
That's me. Yeah. Yeah. What's your list, though? whatever. And you, sir, I've seen you around before.
Yeah.
You raised your hand when I asked if anybody got in citations or hassles. What's been happening to you lately?
Not much, just trespassing.
Where were you trespassing?
Everybody knows the place. It's right across from the metro. The name of the place starts with a C. There's some really big concerts there every now and then. And I know...
he's talking about the Catalyst.
Oh, yeah, that's
the Catalyst's ass, as we used to call it.
Yeah, that's the place.
So you were inside the Catalyst, they didn't want you there?
I wasn't inside there. I was just hunched over in the parking lot looking for roaches.
Shocking. Now, did the management complain or did the police just come over and give you a free ticket?
Well, first I did get a warning. I stuck around for another 5 to 10 minutes, and then I got a citation.
Did you ever get a roach?
I got plenty, actually.
Excellent. So was it worth it?
Yes, thank you, Catalyst.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. We've been talking with
Travis Wheeler.
Thank you, Travis. Any comments for Free Radio?
I'm new in the area. I've had no interface with the police at this point, but I'm a good hider, too, so...
Do you want to say who you are, or would you rather keep an anomalous?
Jeffrey Justice.
Thank you, Jeffrey. All right. Any reports from the street, madam?
Oh, we all need you.
Thank you.
And would you please interview that lady over there? That's China. She's going to speak.
Which one is that?
The lady in the white.
With the white hat?
Yep.
Okay, I may try to do that.
Great.
Any reports from the street?
It's a wonderful place.
Excellent. And what has it done for you lately that you've enjoyed?
I'm alive.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
And you got a good meal coming up.
Yeah.
At least once a week.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
And it also helps you slim down the rest of the time.
Yes.
There you go. So let's look on the positive side, shall we? Thank you. You want to say who you are?
I'm Tanya Meyer.
Thank you, Tanya.
Hi.
All right. Any reports, sir?
No, but I owe you one, because I will be able to report. It's just I was sick yesterday. I'm still a little queasy. I won't do as good as I should.
Okay. Are you feeling better? Have you been able to get medical care, or are you medicating yourself?
I just put up with it, you know. It's very difficult to get medical care. And, you know, I mean, likely... nigh on impossible. And, you know, you don't really want to trust some of those places. You know, I mean, really, come on. And it's just, for one thing, they're corrupt.
Parks and Rec ministering to you, bringing you coffee and cold compresses?
Wouldn't that be nice if they were, at least rangers were actually valuable? They should get those dogs that carry the little keg of
something.
Yeah, and, you know, they act like there's no real crime anyplace, you know, and try to give you a lecture, you know. Ignorant, poor students, you know. They were poor students. That's why they're park rangers here. They want to be, they wish they were, you know, giving lectures to junior woodchucks in Yellowstone or, you know, Sequoia, someplace.
We're going to catch you when you're feeling better. We've been talking with
Ricardo Lopez.
Thank you, Ricardo. All right. Any reports from the street?
What do you mean?
Stuff that's happened to you want people to know about?
I don't know. Santa Cruz is a beautiful place. I think there's definitely too much activity in the enforcement. And, you know, we're just trying to live and enjoy the environment that we have. And actually, the homeless, I think really the homeless clean up more than anybody else. And then they claim that we're the ones that are making the mess. So I think, I don't like that part. So, you know, I'm just trying to figure it out.
And your name is, if you wish to say?
Ono.
Thank you, Ono. Any reports?
What's that?
Any street reports for Free Radio? Any hassles, police, or good times you want to recount?
We do a thing for good times? What's the question of the day?
You were interviewed by Good Times?
No, but I like on Good Times when people give their opinions, and with the photos, it's like, what do you think about this?
How have you been treated on the streets lately?
Good. Excellent, actually.
Are you outside?
In and out.
And how long you've been in town, if you want to say?
A while.
Anything else you want to add?
Kirby.
We've been talking with?
Micah.
Thank you, Micah. All right. Don't I know you from somewhere? Aren't you one of that infamous street team I've heard? Oh, no, you were a member. You're an advertiser for the... what's your name, sir? He's keeping a low profile here. Any reports? And he shakes his head. Well, thank you, sir. Any street reports?
No, not this evening.
Thank you. Any reports from the street? Hey, you got a haircut.
Yeah. I don't have any reports. I wish everybody had more access to the basic things they need, like storage or using the bathroom, because it makes a big difference in being able to get a job or get back on your feet.
No, for sure. Will you be coming to the protest tomorrow?
Probably not. I'll be working.
Well, I wish you luck with that.
Thank you.
Are you able to find lodging these days, or how are you doing?
I like being outdoors and sleeping under a tree. It's not so bad. I like the earth. And I have a friend who's letting me keep my stuff at their place, and I get to take showers and use the bathroom there, and it's made a difference in me being able to get a job, to get work, and to get on my feet and blend in more.
Right on, man. Do you want to say who you are, or do you want to keep it anonymous?
Anonymous.
Thank you, man. Any street reports?
The Rangers suck for banning me from the park for a week just for sleeping.
And what park was that?
San Lorenzo Park.
And when did this happen?
Today.
And you name that? You know the name of the Ranger?
I don't remember the name.
What was the circumstance? What did this? What happened?
The night prior, we were in trouble for camping, and then we had a 24-hour stay away. So we were within 15 minutes of our 24 hours, and he gave me a misdemeanor for the 15 minutes over 24 hours.
Have you been convicted of any of these things or just gotten tickets?
Just gotten tickets.
Are you intending to challenge them in court, or are you intending to not do so? What do you know yet?
I'm not sure what I'm going to do, but I might try to fight it because I think it's bogus.
You got this flyer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The bathroom's on? The other side?
Yeah. I'll give you another card. If you want, you can give me a call. We do a... There's a homeless legal assistance project which doesn't really assist much, but it might give you some advice. I'm also with a group called HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, which meets every Wednesday. And if you come to the protest tomorrow, we can talk about it. That's tomorrow, Tuesday. It's on the flyer if you've gotten it.
Okay, yeah, totally.
And your name is?
Shara.
Thank you, Shara. Any reports?
Any report? God is good. Earth is a beautiful place to be. And I wish the best. And everybody should really smoke a lot of pot and make the world a better place. And go tie-dye.
Dig it. And what's your name, man?
My name's Miller, Richard Miller, and I'm from Chicago, Illinois, man.
Welcome, Richard. Enjoy your meal.
Absolutely.
I have a question for you, sir. Do you know what Thomas is? Thomas Mullen? Young black dude? Good-looking guy?
Not offhand, but I may have talked to him.
I've seen him before, I'm sure. He's really very flamboyant and very happy. He's always singing downtown, sings a lot. You know what I'm talking about?
I believe you. I doesn't mean it. But what about him?
Did he die?
I don't know.
I heard Thomas died. Thomas Mullen? Carrie's son? Carrie Mullen? Thomas? Maybe 27. Good looking black dude. He might have died, yeah.
Sorry, let me know if you come up with more information. I don't know.
It'll be there next Monday.
All right.
I heard he OD'd. Maybe he died.
I haven't seen Carrie.
Any reports from the street?
No.
Any songs from the street?
No. I got a huge
campaign.
Thank you.
Make up some coupons so everybody can use the bathroom at the Loudoun Center during the concert. It'll allow one use of the restroom valid on that date only, on Wednesday night.
On that day only. You can go poo, but make it quick.
She thinks it's a great idea for you guys to do.
It's a possibility.
All right.
Thank you. You coming to the protest tomorrow?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, you're coming to thing on...
Never, I don't believe in that protest.
What about the thing the next day, the concert?
What's that?
That's
the mountain has been closed too long. I agree with that. Okay,
right.
Back up.
But there's also a concert at Loudoun Nelson Center.
Yeah, I know. I've seen Dave now.
You going to that thing or?
Considering it.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll see you there.
Probably.
And we've been talking with, if you wish to say.
What was that?
Your name, if you want to say.
Steve.
Thank you, Steve. Any street reports? Any street reports?
Yeah, I'm taking it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Remember, my son Brian, this is one of my sons here. He's a Brian.
Hey, Brian.
One of them.
Greetings.
He's camped out a lot, yeah.
Any hassles, Brian? Any comments for free radio? Anything that's happened to you?
Not right now.
Okay.
Not lately. Yeah.
No hassles. MH Canada is a director's meeting, and I was going to go there and check it out. Anything you want me to bring up to them if I ever get over there?
Not at this time.
You haven't been hassled since the answer
no,
before?
No, but I have to park at least, you know, 3 blocks away if you have anybody in your car. That's the rule. So I walk it. But at least I'm getting some exercise. But I do have a bad back. And
all for your own good, Nancy.
Yeah. But
aren't you grateful?
Well, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for whatever I can have. Yeah. They have been very sharing. I just wish they would give that food away like they used to. It's a city council, someone that made it, so they don't give the food where you can take it out anymore over there.
And a spineless board of directors, that's my view. Thank you. If you're looking for a blanket, you're cold, I haven't got any good news for you. Anything else you want to say for free radio?
All right,
sure. What's your name, sir?
Yeah.
Are you doing... looking in the coffee pot. What's going on there? You're going to spike the coffee with something?
Get to the last drop.
You're going
to
be playing music tomorrow at the protest there?
That's what we're doing right now. We're rehearsing for tomorrow.
What's your name, sir?
Open mic.
Open
mic. And here's another tune by Roy Zimmerman, Trump Pence, about the 2016 Republican convention. I don't know if he did an equally strong satire on the Democratic convention, but it's a possibility. I'll be getting more of his stuff in the days to come, and I will look for it.
Early next week, to a huge Cleveland hall, the Republican Party comes. From each plank on the platform, they'll issue the call. Come buy our bag of crumbs. Come feed the little birds, show them you care about where transgender people pee. People are angry, and Cleveland is where all of those people will be. The birds, trumpets a bag, trumpets, trumpets, trumpets a bag. Build a wall, love fossil fuels, guns in the churches, the Bible in schools. The words repeal and replace. Islam, Islam, that's in bold face. Lower taxes, no wage minimums. Trumpence, trumpence, a bag full of crumbs. All around the arena, the drunk one percenters look on behind bulletproof glass. Though you can't see it, they're smiling so bigly as Trump vents his natural gas. Though the words are simple and loud, listen. Listen, he's wowing the crowd. Listen while the party succumbs. Trumpets, trumpets,
and doubted dumbs. Trumpets, trumpets, a bag full of crumbs.
So on Sunday, I'm going to be playing some clips from the City Council protest, actually outside the City Council, the open up the damn bathrooms, give us back the bathrooms protest, where we had a lot of speakers, many of them familiar voices to regular listeners. And inside there were speakers at City Council as well. Pretty much the same issues. There's not a lot of new material that's come out. The City Council, the City Manager, Parks and Rec bosses continue to refuse to open the bathrooms or to give new information. And I get the same story from the most militant reactionaries like Rochelle Narayan on this issue, who was the only council member actually, I think Chris Krohn also may have come out at one point, but and Sandy Brown walked by. Maybe she talked to some folks. Rochelle Narayan, when questioned why she voted, she was the only member of the board of candidates who were questioned by the People's Democratic Club, who said that she was not interested in reopening the Loudon Nelson bathrooms because they were closed via vandalism and other concerns. When asked to be specific about that, she said the staff were looking into it, and she had a lot of confidence in the staff. And of course, this has been the line of the staff for the last 6 months. But the evidence that I've seen doesn't seem to bear this out. So I asked Rochelle if she could present the evidence. She said, well, she's looking for it. And so we'll wait until she finds it. That will be, I don't know how long that's going to take for her to do that. I guess you can hold your water until that happens. But you can also come to a protest next Tuesday at 1 o'clock at Laurel Park, Loudon Nelson Center, where we're going to be attempting to liberate the bathrooms. We have some secret strategies, which we're not unveiling yet, but it could just be another speak out. Could be a shit in. Hard to say what's going to happen there. I've heard people expressing different opinions, and we're certainly a very, everybody's got their own views and does what they want in these matters, as far as I'm concerned. So we'll see what happens. That's 1 o'clock at Loudon Nelson Center. If you're a senior, go to the meal and then bring the bathroom key outside and talk to us, and we can maybe all share in the facilities, respectfully, of course. Respectfully to the facilities, though not necessarily to the people locking down the facilities. And there's reportedly some sort of background babble about the proposal for a porta-potty permit that Steve Plaich is pressing as a member of Conscience in Action, trying to get the new head of Parks and Rec, Tony Elliott, to stand down on this lock the public out to pee on the grass approach that Loudon Nelson has, that the Izeth Ray has decided upon, the supervisor there at the Loudon Nelson Center. Cynthia Chase reportedly sent Steve an email saying she was interested in facilitating a permit process. That's nice. There, so while they talk, you can, dig a hole outside and do your business where you need to. Also, Phil Posner is trying to get a meeting with Tony Elliott, the head of the Parks and Rec. I don't know if he's actually been officially appointed. I hear different stories, some that he has, some that he hasn't, taking the place of interim director Carol Skurich and former director Mauro Garcia. But Conscience in Action, I'm hoping, will actually take action rather than simply sit around jabbering and jawboning with these guys. But there's nothing wrong with talk if it leads to action, but so far there's no new information. That hasn't been the case. Now, for those who are interested in bringing up the issue to the council candidates, as I said, all of whom, except for two who weren't there, and Rochelle Narayan, at the last candidate forum at the People's Democratic Club when it was held at the Resource Center for Nonviolence on Ocean, agreed the bathrooms needed to be opened immediately. In fact, more bathrooms needed to be opened fast. So I would encourage people to call in to the electoral forum coming up this Sunday at 7 to 8, and I'll hopefully announce it again on Sunday during the Sunday show. The number, if you grab your pencil, I'll give it to you. You can write down the phone number and give them a call between 7 and 8. I think you can also go to the studio, but I don't know if they still have studio audiences, but I think they may. So the number to call is 425-8844, 425-8844, and then extension 630, which will probably be announced on Channel 27, where it's broadcast from 7 to 8. And this is a panel of at least some of the electoral candidates. They are candidates for the city council seats that are up for, I think, four seats are up. Three seats are up. At least three or four. They shift off every 2 years. It's three, actually, I'm pretty sure. And there's also a forum coming up, a rent control forum, where the some of the candidates will be answering questions about rent control. And that's, I saw that being arranged the other day. Apparently it's going to be slated at Loudoun Nelson Center, but I'm not sure when and where. There's coming up next month, there'll be a debate organized by the local ACLU between Police Chief Andy Mills and Oakland Attorney Jim Burris, who's been defending victims of police abuse up in Oakland, as well as two other folks on the panel. And that's supposed to be happening on October 16th. There's an immigration forum coming up by the ACLU, time to be announced. The Watsonville Homeless Connect will be happening on November 14th. And I'll probably be reciting these dates closer to when these actual events occur. The Thanksgiving meal is, according to Plaich, likely to be held, or going to be held, at the Vets Memorial Building, which he says is the new name, and don't you call it anything else, for the Vets Hall on November 22nd. And Steve also advises us that he will be doing an updated version of his story on Conscience in Action for Street Spirit, the homeless newspaper. I kind of got an update from, I wandered into the board of directors meeting as it was closing of the MHCAN, the Mental Health Clients Action Network. And I was reminded by people who were there about the kinds of harsh, unnecessary, and cruel restrictions on the program that have been levied and that are still not really up for challenge because the board is still nervous about offending the city and worried about, I don't know, alienating the county. I'm not quite sure what exactly their motivations are, but there's still a sort of a keep a low profile approach as headed by the board chair, Steve Plaich, who I was really interested in clearing me out of the room before I could even start asking questions, but he got tired of encouraging me to leave as I talked to other people, and he finally left. Don't get me wrong, Steve's a good guy. It's just power tends to go to your head if you are in a position of power. You want to exercise it, or what good is it if you don't have that power? That seems to me to be what happens in many cases. So I think what I'm going to do now is jump to the Tuesday protest that we did. And it was quite a long series of speeches. I'm not really sure how original or inspiring. Well, they're kind of inspiring. People spoke out of passion, and some of them had some new information. Mostly it was, the old refrain, please, please, let us use the bathrooms. I mean, it sounds ridiculous is the problem. But let's play a little of this and, I don't know, see if it strikes a chord.
So it's about 10 to 4 and we're about to witness the mass Conscience in Action protest, probably the least half a dozen people. And I'm with Keith McHenry and Nutcracker Nick, who are setting up a Funa Bombs table outside City Council in an area that is apparently not roped off with yellow tape yet. What do you make of this, Keith? I've just not heard.
Well, I think it's because city's becoming very liberal. It's very good. Everything's really beautiful.
Now, you said an unusual experience happened to you as you were heading to...
Well, I've got a David Rovics concert coming up tomorrow, Wednesday the 26th. And I was urged to come and talk to Jeff about the sound system there. So I went in there after my doctor's appointment and really had to pee. badly. And so I come up to the ranger behind the desk and say, like, I really need the coat to the bathroom. I've got to pee really bad. She goes, are you here with an event? I said, no, I'm here to see Jeff. You got an appointment with Jeff. I said, no, I don't have an appointment with Jeff. She kept, like, hassling me about the getting the coat.
Eligibility to use the bathroom.
Yeah.
You're not one of the eligible people.
Right. And I'm like, and so for Robin, I go, man, I'm going to just piss on the door then. And he said, well, then you're going to get a citation for public urination. I said, no, I won't, because I'm going to just leave. Screw you. And then Robin came up and gave me the number to the bathroom so I could go to the bathroom. But that's, like, you know, so classically outrageous.
And it should be said, Robin is one of the seniors who uses the senior meal. Sounds like Keith may have gone to Loudon Nelson during the senior meal that day. Tuesday, the same day that he and I were later talking right outside City Council, which is, we were standing at the Food Not Bombs table where literature was being given out, and there was food there as part of the protest demand that council and the people supposedly that they're responsive, that are responsible and responsive to them, the staff take that action lickety-split. In other words, it wasn't a staff member who opened the bathrooms or gave the code. It was another member who essentially passed the word on to him in a way that might have been theoretically injurious to his to Robin, that senior's privileges and rights to use the senior meal, because you're supposed to keep that bathroom code hush hush.
I mean, you're there. You could give him the number and just go to the bathroom. So it's beyond just, yeah, the fact that you have to be eligible to get go to the bathroom there. You have to have an ongoing.
You have to have some standards.
Yeah. Like, why not just let everybody get the number and go to the bathroom? It's unbelievable, really.
Yeah. I will pull it out for you. I was an anonymous person who showed up to inquire about what's going on with this right-to-pee stuff. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think it's a contradiction that they have an open-door policy and also limit access to the bathrooms. The open-door policy is key, in my opinion, as far as the contradiction, because it's so widely known that it is an open-door policy for Santa Cruz that places like San Luis Obispo hire nurses, and my girlfriend's mother was one of them.
Thank you.
For $40 an hour, they pay them $40 an hour to ship people or shuttle people from San Luis Obispo to Santa Cruz. They take them off the street, they pay them, they give them food, they put them in a shuttle, and then they send them to Santa Cruz, and it's not the only county that does it. So if they're going to have that open-door policy and have access to those government funds for all the homeless people, which I'm sure that's the incentive for them doing it, is having the government funds, because they give them a certain amount of money per year depending on how many homeless people are in their county.
You know, I've heard this before, but not from anybody who's actually been shuttled. So I got to say, I've heard it be from critics of providing homeless services in Santa Cruz, usually those to the right of the pseudo-progressives who talk about, I don't know, someday changing the laws, and wouldn't it be nice if, and if only had a council majority, but not really doing anything other than, well, they're speaking out more, but they're not actually acting out in terms of ways that might challenge the staff, who are the ones who really keep these policies in place. But I haven't heard any actual individuals who told me, I was given a shuttle ride up here to Santa Cruz in order to get me out of their county. I have heard of people who are forced to come back here because they have warrants in a Santa Cruz court, though not so much in recent years, because sleeping ban warrants, for example, no longer are used. Instead, they simply do an unconstitutional process of adding an additional fine, whether you're in court or not, and sending the ticket south for collection, so it then impinges on your credit, impinges upon your ability to get a driver's license, and so forth. So I'm skeptical of this, but, you know, he says his mom was involved. Or they say it was one of his relatives, so who knows?
And then they also need to, provide the restrooms. It doesn't make any sense. They're going to be shitting on the ground.
And wee-weeing wherever. They're going to be, if you can bring this issue up if you want at 5:30, when they will be allowing people briefly. And, of course, during this whole period, they are generous enough to open the two bathrooms here, although the rest of the week they're closed. So you're not allowed to be here at City Hall and go to the bathroom, unless, of course, you're a staff member, in which case you have an internal bathroom.
Yeah, I would like to know where all that money's going, all that government money that they're getting from being an open-door county.
You can ask the city council. They'll, of course, ignore you. But the public may be interested in the question.
Yeah, because it's like, where is it going? It should be going to the restrooms. If you're going to, cater to that, then they're giving you money to cater for that. And they're not. That's I don't know. It just seems like they're embezzling.
Are you calling our city council crooks?
I'm questioning whether they're spending their money correctly, and if it turns out that they're not, they are crooks. So
I don't suppose you want to give your name, Mr. Anonymous Guy.
No, I don't, because I'm scared as to whether they are crooks or not. If they are crooks, they're going to make my life pretty bad.
So. Well, thank you for your thoughts, and if you stay, you don't have to give your name if you talk to the city council. You can just stand up there and give your thoughts and then walk away.
Yeah, but my face is known. So I can't.
Well, now we know who you are.
It's much better, though, at least for me and where I'm at in my life, my priorities are just to make my own slice of pie and then help everyone that I can in close proximity to me.
Fair enough. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
So here we are at the...
Can you gather around here?
Why not? Gather around, but you are the man who will be speaking.
Okay. Hi, everybody. Is this the rally?
Steve Plage speaking.
So everybody, thanks for coming. I want to have a few introductory remarks before we go to Mike is going to speak and Phil and perhaps Bob will grace us and some folks. It's a day, in my view, for numbers. 1,000 is the number of unsheltered folks in the city of Santa Cruz. 0, the number of toilets that are open after 10 o'clock at night. 5, the number of council members who have expressed, out of 7, who expressed absolutely no interest in this issue. 6 is really the number of porta-potties that we would like to, through conscious inaction, through the graces of ACLU, UNA, Food Not Bombs, placed strategically around the city to provide 24-hour bathroom access for folks. It's going to take some effort. It's going to take some fundraising, but I think that we can do it. 25 is the day that we have here and an opportunity to go into oral communication. 2 is the number of minutes you'll be able to speak. But please consider going in and expressing your belief about what you think is important on this day of not only bathroom access, but winter shelter concerns, community caring generally, changing the narrative about homelessness in our city. I think that the thing we really need to do is remember that 68% of the people who were unsheltered tonight were Santa Cruz residents when they became unsheltered. We need to remember that these are friends and neighbors. We need to remember that we're all just one paycheck away from being poorer and homeless ourselves. Those are the things we should take with us, but today is an opportunity to go to your city council, to express yourself to them, and to let them know that this is a real issue amongst people who care in this community. I do note that the Rabbi Phil Posner has asked the mayor for 4 minutes to make a presentation, so you all want to stay for that, to listen to his impassioned speech. I think there will be many people who speak passionately, but my role here is to speak practically, and believe me, I'm as surprised as anybody by that, but we really need to pursue the process that we've commenced with the city, and that is to get the permit for our citizen-sponsored bathrooms. That proposal is very live. That proposal can happen.